So just a few days after the appearance day of Lord Nityananda, and not so long, we observed the appearance day of Advaita Acharya. And now, about a month away from Gaur Purnim, we are slowly contemplating more and more about the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So I wanted to begin with a verse from the Adi Lila, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 3, verse 63. Smitaloka sukam harati jagatam yasya parito giram tu parambra kusala patilim palavayati padalamba kam vapranayati nahi premani vaham sadevas chaitanya kritira titarana kripayatu. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya, bestow his causeless mercy upon us. His smiling glance at once drives away all the bereavements of the world, and his very words enliven the auspicious creepers of devotion by expanding their leaves. Taking shelter of his lotus feet invokes transcendental love of God at once. This verse is Dvitiya Sri Chaitanya Astaka 8 from the Stavamala of Srila Rupa Goswami. So, the Smita Aloka. Smita means smiling, and Aloka means the glance. The smiling glance of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya is looking upon this material universe, then suddenly everything changes. Suddenly, the entire inauspiciousness of the age of Kali disappears. In his Chaitanya Chandramrita, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is mentioning where is that influence of Kali now? Where are all these sinful men, where are they? Where have they now gone? Is there anyone who has escaped the influence of Lord Chaitanya's movement? So that is a fact. So just the smiling glance of Lord Chaitanya changes everything. And we thought it was us. All along, we thought that it was our own piety. We thought that we were natural devotees. We thought that even as children, we were always praying. Yes. And what about the other side? When we were not praying, what about those times? Right? Those typical symptoms of the age of Kali. That interest in spiritual life was suddenly awoken in this age of darkness, this age of materialism, simply because of the smiling glance of Lord Chaitanya. That is where it begins. And then it carries on. It carries on after the Smita Loka Sukam. Then it continues with his speech. It is said, his very words enliven the auspicious creepers of devotion by expanding their leaves. So, simply hearing from Lord Chaitanya, about Lord Chaitanya, simply in that way, our devotional creeper is expanding immediately. So simple. More so than even hearing about Krishna directly. Because, after all, there is that added element of mercy. And the underlying theme of our discussion in the next few days will be the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Karaha Vichar Vichara Karita Chitta Pava Chamatkar. That if one is truly contemplating the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then one will find that one's heart becomes filled with amazement. Prabhu kahe ame vishvamba namadari namasarta kahe yadi prema vishvabari. Lord Chaitanya thought, my name is Vishwambar, one who maintains the entire universe. Its meaning will be actualized if I can fill the whole universe with love of God. Yes. How can one even speak of maintaining? I'm maintaining someone. I'm maintaining a whole family. So many arrangements for their maintenance I am making. Oh yes. But unless, by the definition of Lord Chaitanya, unless we bring someone to the state of love of God, we're not maintaining that person at all. Then we let him starve. We basically let him die. We are like Magrari the hunter, you know, half kill him, right? Still flapping, half dead. There's no real life without Krishna, without devotional service. Love of God, it is interesting that we find that Ishvarata Dadine Su Bali Sesu Dvisatsu Cha Prema Maiti Kripu Peksha Yakuruti Samadhyama. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the definition of the Madhyam Adhikari, the intermediate devotee. And it is said that the intermediate devotee, he has different emotions. He has love. He has love for Ishvara, for the Supreme Lord. He has friendship for the devotees. He is merciful to the innocent, and he ignores the envious. So it's interesting that it says that he has love, prema. The word is used, prema. It is said he has prema for Ishvara. Of course, that prema, that love, is not in a fully blossomed form, but something is there. That's important, because sometimes when we discuss the topic of love of God, we are discussing something that is so high that we cannot even understand it. But in another sense, right, that same love of God is not alien to us. Because the Madhyam Adhikari begins to experience some of that love. That means a devotee who is in practice, a serious devotee, a devotee who is having firm faith, but he is a sadhaka. He's a devotee who is practicing in devotional service, not one who is actually experiencing the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabodhananda says that in the stage of bhava, Krishna actually personally manifests in our meditation. So that is the big difference. The sadhaka is always trying to remember Krishna, always trying to bring the mind back to Krishna, and then it drifts away. Savai mana Krishna padara vindiyo, somehow or other, push that mind. But it's like pushing that mind uphill. But then it says that in bhava, the meditation is no longer about us trying to fix our mind on Krishna, no longer on us trying to cultivate some remembrance, but actually Krishna is personally manifesting in the meditation of the devotee. So that I find is a very important point. This book, the Chaitanya Chandramrita, is not just a nice book, but it's a book that makes very important points. And this point is essential because it gives us an understanding of what is the difference between a sadhaka and or a devotee in practice and a liberated soul. So in practice, we are cultivating our Krishna consciousness. But of course, there also Krishna manifests himself. Krishna is manifesting himself in different ways. He may manifest himself in our heart in the form of encouragement. He grants us taste. When there's happiness in devotional service, it's a gift. We have to take it that Krishna is pleased and therefore he's giving me this happiness. It's not from I am doing this. You know, I am chanting, I am dancing, and therefore I'm happy. Logically, I'm eating all this wonderful prasadam, therefore I'm in ecstasy. No, the happiness is a gift of Krishna, even at an early stage in devotional service. And in this way, when it comes to Krishna prema, it is the same. It is a gift of Krishna. When Krishna is satisfied with our service, then we will experience that love of God. But it is the desire of Krishna. It is the desire of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya was thinking, if my name is Vishvambar, the one who maintains the entire universe, then I must give the whole universe love of God. Otherwise, how can we say I am doing so? But the universe was not ready. The universe was not waiting for such a thing. The universe really had something else on its mind. And it is stated that all the living beings, from the most evolved living beings on Brahma Loka, down to the lowest living beings in the forms of germs, that all living beings in the 8,400,000 species are only interested in sense gratification. All of them. So even the germs. Sometimes I have given the example, if it's a Saturday night and you have like a bursting headache, then you know they're having a party. So, like this, right? The living beings are all involved in sense enjoyment. And particularly, Srila Prabhupada explains that actually what is driving all living beings is the sexual impulse. Even the lower species, all driven by that particular impulse. So Lord Chaitanya is just giving the opposite. The opposite of lust is prema. It's where this lust is atmindriya priti vancha tarabolikam. It is about satisfying our own senses. It is about us. We are the center of the universe and everything is for ourselves and for our enjoyment. And everyone is for my enjoyment. Everyone. Everyone and everything is simply for my pleasure. That is lust. And in prema, everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. So, that is on our mind. When we speak about the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, then it is said that there are two purposes that the Lord is fulfilling. The internal purpose of the Lord and the external purpose of the Lord. Lord's appearance. The internal purpose is that the Lord is trying to taste the mood of love of God that is experienced by Srimati Radharani. The external purpose is that the Lord is trying to capture every living being somehow or other and bring every living being back to the spiritual world. And of course, in the spiritual world, there is that ocean, this premamritambo, this ocean of transcendental love of God, which consists of Krishna, who is being served and worshipped by unlimited devotees who are deeply, deeply overwhelmed in ecstatic love. And Krishna equally is deeply overwhelmed in ecstatic love for each of these devotees. And that loving exchange is always increasing. Another important point, which is found in the Adilila chapter 4, there is a description of the internal purpose of the Supreme Lord. And it describes the mood of Srimati Radharani. And it describes there how there is a competition between the qualities of Krishna and the love of Srimati Radharani. And how that love is discovering the qualities of Krishna. And when Srimati Radharani is discovering a quality of Krishna, her love embraces that quality. And in this way her love increases. Then she finds another quality of Krishna, and she loves that too. And in that way her love increases. So, in the spiritual world, this is actually the experience. Every devotee, the love is always increasing because there is always more to discover. And every aspect about Krishna is just wonderful. Every aspect about Krishna is just totally enlivening. Every aspect about Krishna is just absorbing, completely absorbing the mind, the heart, everything. And in this way, there is an ocean of transcendental love which is just growing and growing. And Krishna, when he sees that love growing in the hearts of his devotees, his love for his devotees is also growing. So it's an amazing ecstatic exchange in the spiritual world. It's not just, and then we all go back to Godhead, and there we are forever in Goloka, and you know, what do you do there? Herding cows, and you know, and dancing in the moonlight, and things like that. But no, it's that ever-increasing ocean of transcendental love. So, this is Lord Chaitanya's desire. Sometimes it is stated that for Lord Chaitanya, the real reason why he appears is his internal purpose. But I find that answer that point a little incomplete. I think the real reason why he appears is for the internal purpose and the external purpose. Not for any less. He desires everything. It is said that in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that although Lord Krishna is Atmaram, he is fully satisfied within himself, it is said that still he has no need for anything, but still he experiences that there is some incompleteness. How? The Lord is fully satisfied within himself, there is some incompleteness. The incompleteness is that there are some living beings who have turned away from him, who are in the material world, and Krishna therefore has a desire to bring the living beings back. And again, Krishna makes arrangements. Again and again, Krishna involves himself with the material world. He has no need to do so. Atmarama samuniyo nirganti api urukrame. He is fully satisfied within himself. So, he is completely absorbed in his eternal pleasure pastimes, and in itself, These pleasure pastimes are just full of unlimited, ever-growing nectar. Krishna is such a person. He is an all-or-nothing person, and he wants everything. And he wants everything. Oh yes, even if he has practically everything. No, he wants everything. Everything, completely. Every living being he wants. So he comes again and again in his various incarnations. The Chaitanya Chandramrita is very strong. There, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says a few very strong things. One strong thing he says is, he said, what was the use? What was the use when Lord Ramachandra appeared and killed so many Rakshasas in the Dandakaranya forest? What was the use? What was the use when Lord Varahadev saved the earth from the Garbhaka ocean? What was the use? What was the use of all these incarnations, basically, of the Lord? In comparison to the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, who actually gave love of God to all living beings. So it is not that Srila Prabodhananda starts blaspheming the various avatars of the Lord, but he points out that whatever they gave was insignificant in comparison to the gift of love of God. His point is that Lord Ramachandra came to show the perfect example of Dharma, right, to the world, to a point where he was ready to sacrifice any level of self-interest. First, Kaikeyi, his stepmother, not his real mother, stepmother, that's already sensitive. His stepmother is asking him to go to the forest. And she's used up these boons that she got from Dasarat. So, and what does Ramachandra say? He says, my dear mother, why did you use those boons? You could have just asked me to go to the forest. I would have gone voluntarily. And the whole kingdom went mad, and Lord Ramachandra went. Dharma. Just Dharma throughout, religious duty, even to the point that after gaining Sita, he gave up Sita because she was criticized for having stayed in another man's house. What can be said? Dharma. But just Dharma alone, is incomplete. Dharma undoubtedly is glorious. The whole world is in the grip of adharma, is in the grip of sinful activities. The whole world is fallen. The whole world is in the grip of destruction, of cruelty, and so on. So how noble is this path of Dharma? So selfless, but at the same time, it doesn't compare to love of God. So Lord Chaitanya's gift of love of God is truly something extraordinary, because it's the one thing that can fulfill the heart. It's like, after reading the Ramayana, at the end, every year, around Ram Nomi, we really get into it. And when it comes to the end, I dread the end, you know. When he gives up Sita, I go, this is too much. This is just too much. I mean, too much dharma, you know. And on many, too much dharma. And on many Ram Navamis, I've used the term, you know, all devouring dharma, you know. The all devouring dharma is just too much, too much. Right? How could he give up Sita, you know? I mean, forget dharma, you know. Run off with Sita, right? Yeah, isn't it? You know, dharma, like to the hilt, right? So, dharma, it leaves us somewhere dissatisfied. It cannot fully satisfy the heart, you see. It cannot fully satisfy the heart. It is not said. The end of the Ramayana, I'm sorry to say, is not satisfying to the heart. No. I can appreciate it. That's a glorious path, right? And at the end, I will sort of turn away from the last words and I say, yes, yes, it is a glorious path that is described, but it doesn't satisfy the heart, right? But Krishna Prem is Krishna above everything, right? Above everything. Never for anything in the world will give up Krishna. No. Yes. Even dharma will give it up just like that, right? Drop it like a stone. Cheat and lie. Whatever. Right? That comes natural. That's easy. Speaking the truth is for Krishna. Even speaking the truth for Krishna. That's difficult. But we'll do anything for Krishna. So Krishna Prem is that, right? Everything for Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya showed that particular mood. Jumping ahead for a moment, remembering how Lord Chaitanya visited Vrindavan, and remembering how in Vrindavan he became, it says, as he came to Vrindavan, on the way to Vrindavan, he became 1,000 times more ecstatic. And when he came to Vrindavan, he became 1,000,000 times more ecstatic. And just here, as soon as he entered, he started to embrace every tree as if he was meeting an old lost friend. And then, when it came to the Yamuna, right, he jumped in. And he didn't come out. His servant pulled him out. Right? His servant said, I'd better pull him out before he drowns. I mean, Lord Chaitanya is just thinking, drowning? So what, you know? What's the problem with drowning, right? For nothing in the world was he ready to get out of the Yamuna, right? I mean, the Yamuna, to be in the Yamuna, what is greater perfection than that, right? So, he just stayed there. All other logic was secondary, right? Therefore, even survival was a secondary thing. Anyway, his servant pulled him out, and his servant eventually pulled him out of Vrindavan. So, such eagerness, just to bathe in that Yamuna, which has been graced by Krishna, which is, it's got the blackish color of Krishna due to his touch, and is filled with the dust of his lotus feet. Ah, just that Yamuna. So, in this way, we can appreciate a little bit Krishna Prem. So, Krishna Prem is the topic. Krishna Prem is the miracle. Krishna Prem is what we are talking about. Oh yes, whenever you speak about an incarnation of God, you need a miracle. And he walked on water, and what else did he do? Right? There must be miracles. And in the case of Lord Chaitanya, yes, there were miracles. So many miracles from day one, miracles were there. Oh, Mother Sachi saw celestial beings before his birth, before his appearance. Yes. And in the house, after Nehemiah's birth, when Nehemiah was still a baby, right? At that time, they used to hear the noise of ankle bells and the sound of running, the running footsteps of a child. Boom, 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 boom. Quickly. And tinkling ankle bells. And they couldn't figure it out. Finally, Jagannath Misra concluded that it was the Shaligram Shila. That makes sense. Doesn't your Shila do that? That was more logical. That was more logical than anything else. After all, okay, you know, that is the Shila is the Supreme Lord. And so, you know, what else could it be? I mean, if you really think about it, that's all it could be. Couldn't be Nehemiah, obviously. Right? And he was a baby anyway. They couldn't even walk. So where was the question? So in this way, miracles were there, and they saw then footprints in the house. From the running, they saw footprints with the marks of Vishnu. The flag, the elephant, goat, and all these things, thunderbolt, barley corn, lotus. Everything was there. And then they saw the same marks on Nehemiah's feet. So miracles were there. Miracles were there. Jarikanda, Lord Chaitanya comes in Jarikanda and just walks through the forest. There's a tiger lying on the path. He touches that tiger with his lotus foot. The tiger jumps up in ecstasy and calls out, Haribo! Then, you know, he gestures to the deers, and the deers also, you know, they also start to dance, and then they dance together, and next they're embracing, and before you know it, they start kissing. that got out of hand. But whatever, nothing happened, right? So a miracle, undoubtedly, a miracle. And we can look for many such miracles, and there are many throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But that's not the miracle. The real miracle is Lord Chaitanya's love, his love for Krishna. I mean, where are all those tears coming from? I mean, really? I mean, no creature has that much water in his body. How is it possible? Lord Chaitanya was in the Jagannath temple, standing in the back, so that he would be able to control himself. Because once, the first time he came to the Jagannath temple, he wanted to jump on the altar and embrace the deities. So he stayed in the back, next to the Garuda Stamba, and there was a drain, and there was a constant stream in that drain. From the tears that are flowing from his eyes. Where is all this water coming from? Yes. So in this way, we see the miracle is the love of God. The love of God of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, the topic of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is this love of God. It's that what is described. Not only is it described in that Lord Chaitanya was experiencing this love of God, but it is little by little revealed. And little by little it is classified. First, in the beginning Lord Chaitanya is hiding his transcendental identity. He is Nehemiah. He's a scholar. Incredibly learned, this Keshava Kashmiri Pandit comes in, a Digvijay. Dig means direction. Digvijay Pandit, they usually carry with them a Vijay Patra. A Vijay Patra is a scroll with all the names of all the pundits they have defeated. And each time, such a pundit is gaining more and more attributes from his victories. Kings give him elephants. He carries with him caravans of books and servants. And in this way, the Digvijays used to travel India. And the Keshava Kashmiri, pundit, came, and he was defeated by Nimai even before the official debate. Nimai just asked him, could you, you are such a famous pundit, I am just a beginner, I am very eager, I'm just teaching a little grammar, I'm just a young student, beginning to teach, but you are like a great scholar and poet. Could you recite, could you make a poem in glorification of the Ganga? And he makes a poem in glorification of the Ganga, and next moment, one hour, a storm comes from his mouth. For 1 hour he's reciting verse after verse. Then after the end, Lord Chaitanya says, could you give some explanation, please? Could you please explain the alankars, the decorations, the ornamentations, and the folds in the 64th verse? I was like, folds? There are no folds in my poetry. And then Lord Chaitanya started to quote the 64th verse, where the pundit had used the term Bhavani Bhartu, Bhavani Bharta, Bhavani Bharta. So Bharta means husband, and Bhavani means the wife of Lord Shiva. So the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. If anybody speaks like that, then we think it's Winnetou or someone who doesn't really speak very good English, right? You know, I mean, yeah, the husband of the wife, whoever, you know, that's not proper English. So Lord Chaitanya pointed it out. This is double. This is repetition. This is not proper grammar, right? The husband of the wife. That's already implied. Obviously, where there's a husband, then somebody's husband, yeah, then we understand that she's a wife, you know. No need to say that. Yeah. So that's clear. So he pointed out the fault. And the pundit was shocked. He was shocked. He said, but how could you remember? He said, Lord Chaitanya said, or Nimai Pandit said, well, some are great poets and others have a great memory. A srutidhar, right? And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, whatever they hear, they can remember. So in this way, and everyone laughed. When people just laughed, you know, and this pandit was publicly embarrassed. But then Nimai said, no, please don't laugh. He said, even the poetry of the great poets like Vijayapati and Chandidas, right? Even that poetry has some faults. Even that is full of faults. So that is natural. So no, he is a great poet. He is a great scholar, a great, great scholar. So after cutting him down, he at the same time built him back up. And so in this way, he purchased him. Later that pandit saw Saraswati in a dream, who revealed to him that Nimai was the Supreme Lord. So little by little, some revelations were there about the supreme identity of Lord Chaitanya, the Keshava Kashmiri pandit, or that brahmana who came to the house of Nimai when he was a small boy and made so many offerings, and each time when he spoke the offering mantras, suddenly there was Nimai snatching the mantras, snatching the boga, eating it all, and the brahmana going like, ah! And then, finally the last time cooking at midnight. And again he says the offering mantra and there is Nimai and whoop, again and Brahmana start crying. No. And Nimai said, but you are calling me. What can I do? So then he revealed his identity. So the Lord had revealed his identity to some, but still it remained hidden. But then after, at the end of the Adi Leela, Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas. And then after that, yeah, then the Krishna Prem comes out, right? After the sannyas, it bursts out. It bursts out of his heart. The sannyas ceremony is sort of, to most people, a terrible, terrible, terrible experience, very depressing. There is a barber who shaved his head and who swears that he'll never shave a head again. He doesn't know how he did it, but his hand just did it. He didn't want to do it, but he did it. He became a sweet maker after that. And all the people are just saying, like, how can such a handsome, such a successful young man who has everything, aristocracy, learning, beauty, he has everything you could desire into the three worlds. How could such a young man in the prime of his life take sannyas? Why doesn't he wait till he's old and, you know, then take sannyas? But now, no. But then, at the end, Lord Chaitanya, he took sannyas, received the sannyas mantra from Kesava Bharati, and he became ecstatic. And then he danced in the greatest ecstasy, and suddenly everyone danced in ecstasy. So anyway, we are like this, experiencing how that prem comes out in the beginning of the Madhya Leela. This prem begins to just come out. It becomes publicly displayed and like it never was in the Adi Leela. But now, everywhere, and people get caught up in that ecstasy and so on. Today, I don't want to go there yet. I want to carry on a little bit more. And so it is said that Lord Chaitanya was deciding that the whole universe should get this love of God. And therefore, he decided to become a gardener and to plant the Bhakti Kalpataru, the wish-fulfilling desire tree of devotional service. And he planted this, he himself also became the tree. It is said that the seed of love of God first sprouted in Madhavendapuri. And then it manifested in nine roots, the nine sannyasis. Paramanandapuri, Kesava Bharati, Brahmanandapuri, Brahmanandabharati, Sri Vishnupuri, Kesavapuri, Krishnanandapuri, Srinasingatirtha, and Sukhanandapuri. These nine sannyasis, roots, all sprouted from the trunk of the tree. Thus the tree stood steadfastly on the strength of these nine roots. And Paramanandapuri was the central root. There is a very nice verse in the Chaitanya Bhagavat about Paramanandapuri. And it says, Ajidanya lochan safala ajijanma. Safal amar aji hoile sarvadharma. Prabhu bole aji more safal sannyas. Aji Madhavendra more hoile prakash. My eyes, my mind, my religious activities and my acceptance of the sannyas order have now all become perfect because today Madhavendapuri is manifest before me in the form of Paramananda Puri. So I really think this is so nice that like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing Paramananda Puri and he's saying this, Madhavendra Puri is present before me. It is something like seeing a Prabhupada disciple and saying like today Srila Prabhupada is present and is like is present before me in this disciple. Such a vision Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed when he saw Paramananda Puri. It is said that Paramananda Puri is none other than Uddhava. Uddhava is of course very close to Krishna in Dwarka. He is his cousin, and Uddhava is the best devotee in Dwarka, the most intimate devotee. And Uddhava is a disciple of Brihaspati, very learned, and therefore Uddhava, he is so learned that he can speak in ways that no one can understand except Krishna. So they speak like that. In front of everyone, they have their secret language, their exchanges. Uddhava is so close to Krishna. He's the most intimate in Dwarka. So now again, Uddhava is there in the form of Paramananda Puri. So it is interesting, this parallel, the parallel between the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Not only are the personalities present in both pastimes, but their role is also a little similar. There's some, like, Uddhava is very intimate and close and like the most prominent, and then Paramananda Puri is like, is very prominent among the elders. But as an elder, there is a bit of distance, as there is between Uddhava and Krishna. He's not as close as the residents of Vrindavan. Right? So Paramananda Puri is very close, but yet he's not as close as some of the intimate devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, who are Lalita and Vishakha. They're closer. And so it's interesting, the whole parallel. And case of Bharati, it is mentioned in the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada is saying that actually case of Bharati was, some say that he was a Vaishnava. Although he had taken sannyas in the Sankara Sampradaya, but that actually was a Vaishnava. And some say that he even was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, but some or another took sannyas in the Sankara line. And then, so certainly when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became ecstatic after taking sannyas, then suddenly Kesava Bharati also became ecstatic. And we know how he gave him sannyas, because the night before Kesava Bharati had a dream. And in the dream he gave Nimai sannyas, and he said, to Nimai, he said, last night I had a dream and I gave you sannyas in the dream. Oh, Nimai said, what? Please tell me more. And then Kesava Bharati told the details. He said, yes. And I spoke this and this mantra. Is it the right one? And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, it is the right one. So he said, in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became the guru. So actually, he gave the mantra. First, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the mantra to Kesava Bharati in this way, by being the authority and saying, yes, it is the right mantra. And then he gave it back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? So, who is this Kesava Bharati? In Krishna Leela, he's Sandipani Muni. So that's very interesting. Krishna's teacher, who is said, Sandipani Muni is like a mountain. He's like a mountain. It said the cloud of water is coming from the ocean, then coming to the mountain, staying there at the mountain, then it rains in the mountain, and then it flows down that water in the form of a river. So in the same way, Sandipani Muni is getting his knowledge from the unlimited reservoir of knowledge, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of some knowledge, which is then becoming deposited on him, Sandipani Muni, and this great learning is then flowing down like a river back to Krishna and Balaram, right? So, this is interesting, I think. So, Sandipani Muni, in this way, has now come back again as a teacher, as Keshava Bharati. But still, also not as close as the most intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We find that he is the sannyas guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but after that we don't find endless pastimes with Keshava Bharati, and then, you know, this happened, and then that. No. And then he is not so much in the more intimate exchanges. So, as Sandipani Muni was Krishna's teacher, Krishna received transcendental knowledge, and then he left. Then he left. Then Krishna Balaram left. So we see the parallel is there. Okay, there is something in the person. We see a bit in the character, and a bit in the position that he has, some similarity. Something in similarity in the mood. So that is interesting. Yes. Then it says, from the tree, from the trunk of the tree, then two main branches came. And these main branches are Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya. Lord Nityananda, of course, is first. He is first. He is the first expansion of Lord Krishna. Balaram Holanitai. He's Balaram. And in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the first chapter is dedicated to Balaram and to Nityananda. Chaitanya Charitamrita doesn't describe so much about Nityananda in comparison to the Chaitanya Bhagavat. If you want to kind of know the life of Nityananda, you will find more in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. You find the early childhood and how he was acting out the pastimes. You find so many Jagai Madai story, Chaitanya Bhagavat. The first chapter of Chaitanya Bhagavat is describing how Lord Balaram is the first servant of the Lord. He's Adi Guru, and as Adi Guru, he shows how to be a servant. It says Balaram becomes everything for the Lord. He even expands himself as Vrindavan. And then he expands himself further as Vrindavan expands into Vaikuntha. So he also is the source of Vaikuntha, all that. Then he becomes the three Mahapurushas. He becomes Lord Mahavishnu. And from him come all the planetary systems, all the universes. Right? So he's the source of the whole material world. Right? Then that Mahavishnu is Advaita Acharya, who comes out of, who's an expansion of Nityananda. Yes? And then Advaita Acharya, he is sometimes called Mahavishnu, he is sometimes called Sadashiva. It is said that the material energy is sometimes existing, sometimes not existing. A day of Brahma and a night of Brahma. During the night of Brahma, the material energy is not manifest. But what is there is the pradana. So what is this pradana? The pradana is the potential of the material energy. It is the It is said in the pradana the three modes of material nature are in an equilibrium and then they dissolve. Then there is no activity, there is no quality, there is no manifestation, but the potential is there. And when Lord Mahavishnu glances upon that pradana, on that potential, then it is said in the Brahma Samhita, then Sadashiva, Shambhu, becomes that glance. And it is Shambhu who then impregnates the pradana. It becomes impregnated with the jiva, with living beings. And then the Mahatattva becomes manifest. Alright. So, that Sadashiva is also Advaita Acharya. So, these two personalities are both very, very lively. Advaita Acharya is known as Advaita Simha, or the lion Advaita. Why? Because he roars. He roars and roars and roars. Like there's a description in Chaitanya Bhagavat how one day Advaita Acharya went to the devotees and he said to the devotees, he said, I had a brilliant idea. Today we will not glorify Krishna in the kirtan. Today we will glorify Lord Chaitanya in the kirtan. And everyone said, oh, wonderful idea, great, and yes, yes, definitely, we must do it. And but Advaita Acharya said, yes, but I will not sing, because I sing too loud. And when I sing, you will all become afraid. So, you know, then they had to do it. Right? And they were a little afraid, because they were afraid that Lord Chaitanya might become angry. And meanwhile, Advaita Acharya sort of like had instigated the whole thing, and he wasn't chanting himself. Yeah? But in the end, he got carried away, and he chanted anyway. And of course, Lord Chaitanya was saying, what is this? Advaita Acharya is an extremely powerful personality, very learned, and a very aristocratic brahmana also. So he's from a very aristocratic brahmana line, and not only that, his family was also very prominent. It is for example said that his great-grandfather was one of the last ministers of one of the last Hindu kings in East Bengal, in the Sylhet area. And so like this, and he retired, that grandfather retired in Shantipur. And that's why Advaita Acharya went to Shantipur. And that's why in Shantipur there are two places dedicated to Advaita Acharya. One is the house of Advaita Acharya, and the other one is the place of his grandfather, where he stayed first. When Advaita Acharya settled there, he first came there, and then he moved later to another place. So we should see both places. So Advaita Acharya is such a personality. And it is Advaita Acharya, of course, who tricked the Lord. Advaita Acharya wanted the Lord to appear, but the Lord wasn't appearing, and he was waiting and waiting and waiting. One day he read, the scripture's name I just forgot now, but he read that whomever worships me simply with some water and a leaf, meaning Ganga Jal and Tulsi, I have nothing in my possession to give in return. Therefore, all I can do is give myself. When Advaita Acharya read that, boing. He got a light bulb above his head, you know. I mean, idea, right? He realized suddenly what he could do. And then he started his worship of the Shalagram Shila with Tulsi and with Ganga Jal. And some call it worship. Others call it a conspiracy. He somehow or other forced the Lord to appear in this way. In this way, today, we are preparing a little bit for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After all, it's still a month away. After all, it's not yet that the Lord is celebrating Gorpanim, but we get a little taste now, and a little anticipation. The appearance day of Lord Nityananda certainly whetted our appetite, right, for more, and we just felt like we're churning something. We started churning, but we didn't get down to the bottom of it. We didn't really get to the core of it. Today, we're hinting of this Krishna Prem, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, which stands for flooding the entire world with this Krishna Prem. Kali Yuga? Who cares? Chaitanya Yuga, right? What Yuga are we living in? Kali Yuga? Which Yuga? Chaitanya Yuga, what Yuga are we living in? This Yuga is no longer Kali Yuga. One Yuga in a day of Brahma. One Yuga in a day of Brahma, where the entire pastime is totally different. Where Kali Yuga becomes the backdrop. It's just a backdrop. It's not at all a Kali Yuga, right? Oh, Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga. Do you also get into it sometimes? Kali Yuga Kata? You know, oh, it's Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is so bad. How bad is Kali Yuga? Oh, Kali Yuga is everywhere. It's really Kali Yuga, Kali, Kali, Yuga, Yuga. It's like, everybody does it. Everybody does it. But what is this Kali Yuga? It's a backdrop. It's a backdrop, simply the stage, right, for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, flooding everything, flooding the entire world, right? It's like, it's bad. Yeah, it must be bad, because it's going to get really good. It is said that when you want to see a diamond, right, when you want to see a diamond, you put it on a dark background. Take some dark, you have a box, and in the box you have some dark velvet or something, or dark silk, right? And then you put this big diamond on top, and then it stands out. You know, if you just put some white cloth, it's not the same. So, yes, we need this dark backdrop of the age of Kali so that the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya will shine in their completely amazing glory. We're getting ready. Yes. Preparing the ground. The ground of our mind. Nityananda's appearance day has gone by. Nityananda is Balaram. Balaram holds the plow. He prepares the ground of our consciousness. He plows our consciousness. He engages us in service. He takes us and pulls us out of our conditioned state and engages us in service. Then we join in this amazing pastime of transforming people, just transforming their lives. This is it. This is the secret. Somehow or other, to become an instrument, and to pass on that mercy. Then prema will come. There is that verse which describes when you give out the mercy and you give away all the mercy that you have, that you'll find in the end that you have more than you had before. That is Adi Lila chapter 8. So that's an interest. So I've made a little analogy based on that verse. I went creative on it. And that is like when we become a devotee, everyone gets a little cup, very small, tiny little cup. This cup is your nectar cup. But it's small. But, you know, okay, catch some drops and whoop, good, refill. Well, but you get only little because the cup is so small. Then as we are engaging in devotional service, gradually the cup is growing little by little. Like, you know. But if you start to use that cup to give away the mercy as well, then, you know, it grows much faster. And then it goes like, that is most ecstatic. So in this way, we have meditated a little bit on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and now have developed some more appetite, and a little more eagerness, a little more anticipation for what is to come. And so, gradually, our anticipation is rising until Gaur Purnim. Is a good time to start reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I didn't leave much time for questions. I got a little carried away, but anyway, if there is a question, then yeah, I'll have a shot at it. But if there's no question, it's also good. Oh, there is. Yes.
About Rama and Sita. Mm-hmm. There is a journal talks about Rama and Sita.
But they're meant to be eternally together. It's supposed to have a happy end, you know? And then they lived happily ever after. They don't have that in Russia. External, huh? External or what, you know, but it's still too much. I appreciate it. I appreciate your attempt, but my heart's still not satisfied. I'm still depressed. Anyone else? Okay. Then we end here. Thank you so much. Shri Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai Nityai Gaura Premanande.